So we start this week's parsha. Parsha's Vayishlach. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav. He sends Malachim, the special messengers, to give Esav a very, very important message. And the message he goes out and he tells Esav is as follows. He says, "Im Lavan garti veichar arata." I went ahead and I was living with Lavan. And we know in this message is a hidden message special to Esav, famously made into many numerous Jewish songs. "Im Lavan garti v'taryag mitzvah shamarti." We go ahead and we take the word Taryag, we switch around the letters, and we get the Taryag, the 613. Wonderful, very beautiful. The first question is, how did he do it? Here he's with Lavan Haramai, right? The Torah doesn't call often, you know. It's not like, you know, you call the big guy, you know, tiny, you know what I'm saying? Here, it calls you a Ramai, this is for a reason. And that reason becomes very apparent as we say in the Haggadah, Bikish La'akaras HaKol, he wanted to uproot everything, he wanted to destroy everything in the most nefarious and the most dangerous of ways. Whereas in Esav, we know, is, you know, Edom is red, he's coming to us, you know, like a bull. Lavan is Lavan, he's white. You expect the bad guy to be red, black, he's white, right? You know what they say, there's a psychologist, a very brilliant psychologist that we went through for many years, yeshiva psychologist, he says, you know, there are two types of people that work on their midos. Two types of people who really work on their midos, but for very different reasons. He says, a tzaddik and a con man. So the tzaddik, we understand, he wants to perfect himself. He means it, it's tocho kabaro, it's sincere. A con man is working on his midos, comes off as very nice, helpful, but he's only doing it to manipulate, to take advantage, for all the wrong reasons. This, we know what Lavan was. Lavan was the worst of all, right? Chazal tell us that he's ready to go ahead and kill his own grandchildren. Then at the end, he goes ahead and tries to call this ecumenical convention. Anything he can do to wipe out Yaakov Avinu. It's unbelievable.
What's the
comment? Ecumenical, like a little, I'll bring my priest, you bring yours, we'll go ahead. You know, it's all the same, you know, let's all get together. It's an unbelievable thing. And somehow Yaakov Avinu, over 22 years, is able to withstand. We know how is he able to do it? You know, Bali Musa tell us the famous word, you know, when Rivka doesn't know what's going on, she's, why am I like this? She goes past the base Avodah Zarah, she goes past the base Meir, she feels the pushing in each direction. So they ask, I understand why she goes ahead, she's passing the base Avodah Zarah, she feels the pushing. Because Esav, what's there for him in his mother's womb? There's nothing there for him, right? No parties there. But Yaakov Avinu, you know, what does Yaakov Avinu have? He's got a malach, he's got the malach who teaches him Kol HaTorah Kula. Why does Yaakov want to get out at the base Medrash? Inside, he has the greatest chavrus a person could ever have. So, Bali Musar explained, because when you have an Esav in there with you also, you can have the greatest chavrus in the world, but you have to get out. This is the dangers. We know in Pirkei Avos talks about the dangers of a shachin rams. So how did Yaakov Avinu do it, Bechlau? So I think our salvation is a very, very beautiful and insightful answer. He says, what do you mean? In love on Garti, Taryar Mitzvah Shamarti. Because it says Garti, the hidden mitzvah, the same letters could be switched around. He says, Chazal was so much greater than that. How did Chazal know that Yaakov went ahead and Yaakov stayed strong? What was the secret? He says, it's the Nalashon that Yaakov Avinu used. In love on Garti. Garti. You live somewhere for 21, 22 years. You know, you come to Eretz Yisrael, so maybe there's some tax issues, you don't want to go ahead and make Aliyah immediately. You know, how long? How long until you consider yourself a resident of the place? How long are you going to hang out for? Right? It can only be so long. I think 21, 22 years is way past that time limit. Yaakov Avinu, in love on Yashavdi. I lived with him, I dwelled with him. No, in love on Garti. The entire time I was with Lavan, I saw myself in the bechina of a ger. I never bought into it. I never had the hesach hadas. I always was focused on who I was, where I came from, and where I was going to. There were no breaks. I never went ahead and considered myself a ger. I never considered myself a toshav, but rather I always viewed myself as a stranger, as an outsider, as a ger. I never bought into it, so to speak. And the truth of the matter is, I think you find this also in an incredible, incredible way. You go ahead, and we know with Yaakov Avinu, more than any of the other Avos, Yaakov Avinu is the one who really goes ahead, and he gets us ready, prepares us for the galus, for the exile. Right? Of all the Avos, Avram Avinu, how long did he spend outside of Eretz Yisrael? According to some Mefarshim, The whole Maisa was 30 days, and then he came back. Yitzchak Avinu always there. Yaakov Avinu is the one who has to live with the love and who has to live in Galut, which is, of course, why he stops. As Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky tells us, where does he stop to learn? He stops to learn in Yeshiva Shem Ve'Ever. What does he need Shem Ve'Ever for? As I said previously, because Shem is the one who lived through it all, he could prepare him for the Galus. He goes ahead, he has no hesach hadas. He realizes to be successful with a loved one, he can't take his eyes off this prize. He can't lapse. There are no days off. And Chachmei Rambam point out, you see this in an amazing way. You know that this past week's parshas, Vayetze, is a very unique parsha. It's one of only two parshas in the Torah that has no parshas psuchos estumos. There are no openings. You look in the Torah, it's one long run-on sentence. That's the hint. There were no openings. There were no breaks. There were no time. It was one straight. From the minute he arrived there till the minute he left, it was straightforward. And by the way, this is the same idea you find that Bnei Yisrael had. At the beginning of Shemos, the pasuk goes and tells us, Ve'il Shemos Bnei Yisrael, Habaim Mitzrayimah. Who Habaim? What did Baim? Asher Ba, who came? Baim, like coming? What does it mean coming? The same exact idea. They never saw themselves as Toshavim. They always saw themselves as Ger, as Moshe Rabbeinu names his first son, Ger Shom. Ki Ger HaYisiv, Eretz Nafi. That's what you want to remember about, you know, your first son. I was in a stranger in a strange land. Yes, that's exactly it. The Bnei Yisrael or his Baim, they were always coming. They never saw themselves as citizens. They never saw themselves as settling there. And when we realize that we're in a place we're not supposed to be, then perhaps we'll be able to find the place where we are supposed to be. This was the secret of Yaakov Avinu. But I think also, you know, Baruch Hashem, so we made it here. We made it to Eretz Yisrael. We're not in Chutz La'aretz, even though we're still in Galus, but we're not in Chutz La'aretz. But I think there's another aspect, perhaps, to this that also remains very important. We know after Yaakov Avinu had his dream in this in Vayetze, he goes ahead and he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says something very, very strange. He says to Hashem, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you give me beged l'vosh, v'lechem l'echol, clothing to wear, and bread to eat, then I'm going to come back with shalom, I'll come back in peace. You know, now that I'm going to Galus, you give me bread to eat and clothing to wear. So Rav Ruderman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, asks an obvious question. What else are you going to do with clothes? What else are you going to do with food? So I think perhaps for Yaakov Avinu is also saying on another level, you know, from a materialistic point of view. Now that I'm going into Galus, I should go ahead, I should be able, I keep my eyes on what the proper priorities are. I shouldn't become one of these gastronomes or fashionistas whether you have a little horse or a little, I don't know, you have a seagull or whatever else there is today. They're constantly changing. Every year guys are coming with new animals on their shirt. You know, bulldog, I don't know. It's I can't keep up. It's crazy, right? But I shouldn't go ahead. I should realize that the clothing should be to wear. The food should just be to go ahead and to power me, to give me energy to eat. I shouldn't get into, well, this type of risk place and that place that so much of us get, so many people go ahead and get caught up in. Unfortunately, that's come here. That's not unique to Galus. That's not unique to Chutz La'aretz, but it's Eretz and Eretz Yisrael. It's everywhere as well, that idea. And I think if we look at Yaakov Avinu, you know, he starts off when he leaves. This past week's parsha, he started off, he was dreaming of, you know, a ladder is going at Shamayim and Malachim, going up and going down. And when does Yaakov go back to Eretz Yisrael? When does he say it's time to go back? When he begins to dream about sheep, speckled sheep, and this is now. I'm starting to dream about sheep from Malachim. Now it's time to go back. So it can affect the Yaakov Avinu on some level. It certainly can affect us as well. And I just end with an amazing story. When I bought my first house in Nofei Aviv many years ago, so I remember I had Chalishas Hadas, because I'm sure everybody here can relate. You go ahead, you sign that contract, you have no money left in your bank, and you start looking at how much money you go ahead and you owe, you know, and still owe to the bank, and you're like, how am I ever going to get out of this? And another Rebbe in the yeshiva, Rabbi Adam Maslin, he told me, let me tell you a story. I told the story about the Chafetz Chaim. A very wealthy businessman was going ahead and traveling around through Europe, and he ended up in Rodin. When you're in Rodin, you have to go ahead. You can go see the, you know, Gvir, you go on the Gadol tour. So back then, the Chafetz Chaim. He comes, he gets a meeting with the Chafetz Chaim. He comes in the house of the Chafetz Chaim. And he's sitting there, and he starts being the Chafetz Chaim, and he can't help but notice the dirt floor, the simple wooden chair, like everything's so. And he says, Rebbe, I don't understand. Chafetz Chaim. Everything is so simple. It's so rustic, you know. I'm sure the Rav has Talmidim who are happy. You know, if I had a Talmud who's bumping me up to business first, I'm sure the Chafetz Chaim had plenty of Talmidim to go ahead and to, you know, could go ahead. The Chafetz Chaim, you know, answers him and says, where are you staying here? So where used to work? There was no Hotel de Rodin, you know, no Waldorf of Rodin. You go ahead and stay in lodging in someone's house. So I'm saying someone's house. It's a simple play, but it's look, you know, I'm just passing through here. You know, my home. I have these couches. I have rugs from here and this and that. It's a. The Chafetz Chaim looked at him and said, "I'm also just passing through here. I'm also just passing through here." Yaakov Avinu, in love on Garti, we have to realize in this world nothing is a given. We're all Bechinas Gerim on some level. We're all Bechinas Gerim, as Mesillas Yesharim says. It's a prozdar, we're all passing through on some level. Just to keep in mind the things that we worry about, things sometimes we may focus on, just to have that Geula perspective, that Yaakov Avinu perspective, that helped him overcome the influences of love on him. And it'll help us till Mashiach comes. And here be Amenu. Amen.